The reporting and resources behind the stories you hear on WSHU depends on the sustained energy of people who care, people like you. I'm Ann Carrick. Your investments in WSHU Public Radio help us face daily challenges and meet them effectively, providing important information and ideas. Thank you for listening and for your support. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut and New York sue to keep SNAP payments coming. The Nassau County executive loses the latest round of a court battle over deputized civilians. Connecticut will bring in outside help to fix issues in the Bridgeport school system. Plus, a look at the New Haven bookstore with a mission beyond books. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Connecticut and New York are suing to stop the Trump administration from suspending SNAP payments on November 1st. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports they're joining 20 other states and D.C.
Connecticut Attorney General William Tong says it's illegal for Trump to stop SNAP food assistance payments to more than 42 million recipients nationwide because of the federal government shutdown.
He can fix this right now by not breaking the law, by following the command of Congress. And that's why we're suing him today.
Connecticut Congresswoman Johanna Hayes is the ranking Democrat on the Nutrition Subcommittee of the House Agriculture Committee. She says the government has a $6 billion contingency that could continue funding for SNAP.
The Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary Rollins, also already has the legal authority to transfer any remaining funds to cover the $8 billion that it will cost to fully fund SNAP for the month of November. So this is a choice.
Connecticut officials say hundreds of thousands of people in the state would lose access to food if the benefit is shut off. In New York, SNAP serves nearly 3 million people, including about a million children. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
A New York State judge has dismissed a lawsuit from Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman over his controversial plan to deputize armed civilians. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Two county legislators sued Blakeman over the program, calling it illegal. Blakeman struck back with his own counterclaim, saying the legislators' lawsuit infringed on his First Amendment right to free speech. The judge threw out Blakeman's counterclaim. The court decision says, quote, citizens must remain free to question the legality of government action without the deterrent effect of retaliation. The ruling means legal wrangling over the original issue, the legality of the citizen deputies, can continue. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The state of Connecticut says it's bringing in outside help in efforts to turn the Bridgeport school system around. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
Pennsylvania-based consulting firm Public Works has been hired to work with the school district through June 2026. The company will provide staff training and help implement 34 recommendations that came out of a state financial audit. The district reported a nearly $39 million budget shortfall last year, leading to massive layoffs and program cuts. That's when the state stepped in. The audit found an overall weakness in the budget system and a lack of financial oversight, but no fraud. According to Hearst Connecticut Media, Public Works has several goals, including improving the budget process with input from staff and the community. The state also plans to hire new staff. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
WSHU visits a bookshop that puts equal emphasis on books and community. That story is coming up. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
This is the weekend that most of the U.S. falls back an hour to resume standard time again. As a reminder to set your clock back 1 hour, Sunday Baroque's musical highlights include a variety of cheerful Baroque timekeeping. including a carillon concerto and a sonata written to celebrate and imitate the bells of a French church. It's on Sunday Baroque this week. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
Police say a Rocky Hill man called for Connecticut State Senator Matt Lesser and other Democrats to be shot. He was arrested and charged with intimidation and hate speech. Police also seized guns and ammunition from his home and say this guy has a decades-long history of making threats and anti-Semitic speech. Suffolk County ranked third in New York State for animal collisions last year, mostly involving deer. AAA Northeast says collisions spike between now and December. Deer are more active and likely to run into roadways around dawn and dusk. Birdwatchers are flocking to Riverhead after spotting rare common cuckoos this week. The birds are native to Europe and Asia. It's only the fourth recorded sighting of cuckoos in the continental U.S. Experts say recent storm systems may have carried them thousands of miles off course. Many Connecticut residents can expect to soon find drug deactivation pouches in their mailboxes. It's part of an initiative to help families safely dispose of unused medications, including opioids. The project is sponsored by the Governor's Prevention Partnership, a nonprofit that works to prevent underage drinking and substance abuse. On the corner of Edgewood Avenue in New Haven, you'll find Possible Futures. It's called a neighborhood book space, not a bookstore. There's a difference. WSHU's Randy Kay spent some time there and spoke with Lauren Anderson and Jada, who are keepers of the book space.
This space is the brainchild of Lauren Anderson.
It's a cross between an independent bookstore and a community reading room. And the reason why we say that is because so many of our neighbors, especially young folks, know that when they're in a store, they're supposed to buy something, and if they're not there to buy something, they're really not supposed to be there. And we actually want to have a space in our neighborhood where our neighbors primarily feel they can go anytime to be welcomed, to be engaged, to be stimulated. And then we also serve teachers, families, librarians. Those are all categories of people who get discounts here because we know how hard their work is, and we want them to know that when we are thinking about making the space work, we're thinking about making it work for them.
There's also bookseller and barista Jada. She can connect customers with some unique reads.
Somebody came in the other day and they were like, I want something like Edgar Allan Poe, but make it Puerto Rican. And I was like, have you read Mariana Enriquez? And then I brought them to our horror section and I got to see all these short stories and they were like, oh my gosh, it's translated, like I can get it in Spanish. It brings a lot of joy.
I'm Randy Kaye, WSHU's All Things Considered host and the host of the series Good at Heart. The name was inspired by the famous Anne Frank quote, and it explores the best in all of us. Walk into Possible Futures and you will be welcomed by Sugar. She's the official canine greeter of the space. Customers describe it as a public living room. Sunlight streams in through the front window. Plants grow everywhere. Paintings by local artists decorate the walls. And of course, there are books, lots of them. I asked Lauren and Jada why they chose to create this space.
I believe you left a pretty, let's just say, steady money job. I don't know how much you made. That's not my business. But you left a steady income to put it all into this bookstore. What said, okay, Lauren, we're going to do this?
I realized that I didn't want to live my life on a college campus. I wanted to be in my neighborhood, and I wanted to be working for an institution that felt radically public. And it's interesting because I thought about public library. I thought about going back as a public school teacher. And interestingly, we created something that's technically a business, but we think about it as a publicly owned offering. It doesn't just belong to us. It belongs to anyone who needs to use it for what they want to use it for. And that's kind of how we go about running it.
So, Jada, why are you doing this?
Well, mine's a simple one, because honestly, I think anybody could do what I do. It's just the fact that I love books, and I love people, and this space does a really good job of putting an emphasis on both. That means that I can go and I can have like a super nerdy, super niche conversation with people that I don't know, because I get to see the books that they bring up to me and I get to ask them, why this one? And the way that their eyes light up, because we are coming together over a shared interest. Mm-hmm. And so many people, I think they don't get those genuine connections very often. I feel like a lot of the times they'll come into a space or a store in which they go in and they go out and it's all about sales. But we really care about people here.
Who helps you and inspires you?
Who helps me and inspires me? My mom. And I know that it's like a cheesy answer, but she's the person that taught me how to view the world. And she's worked with me through all of my tantrum phases, my like not so pretty phases. Like she makes sure that she like comes here and she buys books. Her and I found something that we could connect over. So that was my person.
So Lauren, now the same questions. Who helps you or inspires you?
I have an amazing circle of mostly women friends who are just doers of the highest order. My dear friend Babs just finished her second week of law school in her 60s. These are people that the moss does not grow on. Ife Michelle Gardin, founder of Culturally Lit. Also, when things get hard, they're the ones that like hold you up. We would not exist if it were not for the fact that there is just this circle of aunties who are connecting people to the space all the time, promoting the space, and also making the space what it is.
Two final questions I'd like to ask. Is there a particular quote or philosophy that guides you?
It's the one that's on the mural outside that's like, we can make freedom out of what we have. We are blessed with tremendous resources and that we have the capacity to make the world that we want to live in. And so that idea that we are the ones we are waiting for and we have what we need.
Jada, any particular quote or philosophy?
My personal quote that I like made up for myself was, don't be an octopus. And it's coming from the little fact that octopuses are incredibly intelligent, but they're solitary. Their parents leave them when they're young, and so when they interact with the world, they have to figure everything out for themselves. And people will look at their problem solving, their critical thinking, and they'll think if they had learned these things from their parents, that they would be smarter, more capable, almost dangerous. And so my philosophy for that I came up with when I was young is just use the resources that you have. Use the people that you have around you. Like, you are not alone and you are not the person that is doing this first. There's always places where you can go and you can learn. So it's like leaning on community.
So one final question. Just why do you think we're all here on Earth?
To love one another. I'm not sure there's any higher calling than that, to find our way to like loving relations with other people and with the earth.
I like that.
Mine I get from my mom, and that's to learn, to constantly learn from other people, to learn from our experiences. But whether we've been here before or we haven't, there's always something new. And if you keep your eyes open for it, you'll learn something.
Is the bookstore doing okay? It can't be that easy. Is there anything people need to know about keeping a space like yours alive?
We are doing okay. The math is challenging of a bookstore, period, end of story. And it's especially challenging now given Amazon and everything else. So I would just say the thing people can really do is to shop local and to buy their books from independent bookstores like ours. It's a values choice. It's not going to be as fast, but I always tell people there's no such thing as free shipping. Like, free shipping is getting paid for by a warehouse worker somewhere, and it's getting paid for in the kind of pollution that's ending up in our air and in our water. And so please buy books and buy them locally.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And Instagram is the place to be. For even more from this station, we're easy to find. We are at WSHU Public Radio. Looking forward to connecting with you on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.